StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hi, everybody. This is Johanna from Startup Radio, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the world's first internet radio station dedicated to startups and tech companies. Today, I welcome our wonderful guest, Susie. She's founder and CEO of MeetFox. Hi, Susie. How are you today and where are you?
Hi, Johanna. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm actually in Vienna right now, where I'm originally from.
Oh, wow.
But I'll be back in New York in a week, where I currently live. So
that's super exciting.
I'm going home for a while. Yeah.
Today we are talking about MeetFox. It's a platform to manage online business meetings from start to finish. Can you explain us a little bit the details, how it works?
Sure. Yeah, so MeetFox offers individual service providers a simple one-stop solution to schedule and also monetize their client meetings. What we do is we combine online scheduling with video calls and payment processing into one product that can be simply plugged into any existing website or any marketplace or any public profile, and allows for clients to book meetings with you, have video calls, and pay for your time. That's what we do.
That sounds super convenient. Super nice. When you compare it to other video conference tools, what makes MeetFox different, or let's say it that way, what makes MeetFox better?
Yeah. So I hear that question all the time because, of course, everybody's using the big ones like Zoom or Microsoft Teams. What sets us apart from the existing solutions out there is that we have a complete scheduling system in place. I shouldn't probably be saying that, but we have a Calendly meets Zoom meets payment processing all in one. So we have much more than just a regular video solution because we have the whole scheduling piece included as well. In terms of the video solution itself, it also has some USPs. For example, you can completely brand the entire video experience to your own branding. So you can add your own logo to the video call. You can run the video call under your own domain and therefore provide a very seamless and professional customer experience to your clients. And on top of that, you can also just join any video call with a click. So it's much easier without having to download apps and any plugins, but you can just simply join a call on the website where your client may find you.
That's super, super impressive. Since when or when did you start developing all of that? Because it's, if I think of Zoom meets Calendly and all of that together, that it seems like a big, big software.
Yes, it definitely is. And we put a lot of time and effort into building this company and this product. We actually started already 4 years ago with a marketplace for coaches to connect with clients. And that is where we found the need of making that interaction more seamless. So we decided to build a video solution. We decided to build a scheduling solution. So we started building more and more things until we at some point realized that we were really good at building products and less so at building a marketplace. And so we pivoted into creating a standalone SaaS product that is now offered to any kind of individual professionals, not only coaches, but now we are serving consultants, lawyers, financial advisors, therapists. So many diverse professionals are using our system. And that is what we started really doing in 2019. So right before the pandemic is when we started with MeetFox in its current shape or form, and then, of course, developed further and further, and also added a lot more features. Scheduling always sounds so easy, but when you think about the complexity of everybody's calendars and how everyone has the individual preferences and how they want to manage their calendars, it becomes really complex to cover all these different preferences and requirements. And so it became a much bigger product than what we originally planned, but it's fun.
You just mentioned the pandemic. How was it for MeetFox? Because everyone was more using other platforms as well. And how was it for MeetFox? Did the numbers went up? And can you show your experience with the during the pandemic? What happened?
Sure. So we actually felt a really strong spike right after the pandemic, because suddenly people were all looking for a solution to do video calls, to do scheduling online, because suddenly they needed to cover all of the processes that they used to do in person and physically. Suddenly they had to move them all online. So we really saw a great curve, especially in the beginning. But then at the same time, there were so many more competitors coming into the market. The market became a lot more interesting for a lot of existing companies that suddenly started offering similar features to us. And so even though there was a suddenly much bigger market available to us, there was also much more competition fighting in this market. So it became a challenge, but it's a good challenge to have, I think, because the market is continuing to grow. And because of the pandemic, digitalization accelerated so much that we at least believe it's not going to go back to all the old fashioned ways of working. Of course, people will meet in person again and there will be changes. But I think that especially with covering the scheduling piece and making that digital, I don't think that people will go back to scheduling their meetings with a pen and paper just because pandemic is over. So
hopefully not. So
hopefully not. Yeah.
Hopefully not. Do you have like one? Can you share like one of your biggest video conference fails? Because we saw also during the pandemic all of these funny videos where like kids were on the screen or something. Did you also had like a fail in a way?
Oh yeah, I had many. I think because I'm literally in video calls all day long. Selling a video solution, you really can't ever switch off your video, so you always have to be on video. And one of the funny things was when I was in New York during the pandemic, my husband and I were in a tiny apartment in New York and we were both on calls all day long. And then sometimes one of us had to go to another room and we had to always arrange and who's allowed to have meetings when, because it was very difficult to be talking at the same time. And so I had to have many calls sometimes in the bathroom because there was not a place to go. And so I was like sitting like next to the toilet on a chair with like holding my computer, making sure that nobody realizes that I'm actually sitting in the bathroom. So those kind of things happened a lot, I would say. And then one time also my husband left the shower and walked behind me without realizing that I was on video because he was also not used to somebody else being on video calls all day long in the beginning.
Who was on the other side doing that video?
Luckily at that time it was only my team, but it was still embarrassing enough that I blushed and turned red because it was just still really strange to have your husband run around half naked in the background.
We know all of these funny little stories during the pandemic, especially.
Definitely.
As you said before, you are now in Vienna, and but you live in New York City. And MeetFox is also based in Vienna and New York City. What is your background and what inspired you to found MeetFox? So how did you end up there?
Sure. So right after my university, I had to join and take over my father's company because my father unfortunately passed away. So I was suddenly in a situation where I was running a 120 people plastics production company, and I was completely overwhelmed. Like, I had no idea how to manage people, how to manage a company. Oh, wow. I did not know anything about plastics. So I was just like, I didn't know what I was doing. And I really desperately needed a coach, and I was looking for a coach. And even though I needed one in that instant, it ended up taking me 5 weeks until I finally found one and scheduled an appointment with. Mm-hmm. And I just could not understand why in an era where you can literally book everything at the push of a button, why it would have to take 5 weeks to get access to professional services. And that is true not only for coaches, but I've had similar experiences with lawyers, with financial advisors, with therapists, doctors, you name it. And so I just really wanted to make professional services more accessible, which is why I then decided, besides my job, to start this coaching marketplace, because I was like, okay, let's start with coaching. Let's make coaching more accessible. And out of that is how then MeetFox turned into what it is today. So we started off with CoachFox, the marketplace, and then we turned it into MeetFox. And I started doing it in Vienna, and it was a great place to start it in because you get a lot of public grants, you get a lot of support. But at some point, we also realized that we really want to scale the company, and we started looking for investment in the US. And that is also why I then decided to move to the US, because we got investment in the US and because it made sense for us, and our user base was largely in the US. And that's why we decided to kind of split our team. And now we are just a remote team, living and working in many different places in the world. But all working remotely, so it doesn't really matter where we are right now. But
that's where we are. In the very beginning, who was there your biggest support?
You mean in terms of business? Or
I mean it in both ways, like in terms of business, but also personal support.
Sure. So I mean, definitely my family. Without my family, I couldn't have done it. Without my friends, my husband was definitely there in every up and down of the business. Like, it's always a roller coaster, and if you don't have people to lift you up when you're really down, it becomes very challenging. So I'm super thankful that I had all these amazing people around me. I think one of the things that have helped me the most was also surrounding myself with other founders, mm-hmm. Especially with founders that are willing to share their experiences in a very transparent and open way. And it's sometimes not so easy to find those kind of founders, because a lot of people in the startup world try to show the best them in the best possible way all the time, so it's sometimes difficult to get into what's behind the scenes.
Where did you find these people?
I think that so I spend a lot of time in like startup events, at co-working spaces, talking to just a lot of founders. And then sometimes I think the moment you start opening up and talking about some problems that you're facing, you suddenly realize that everybody else is facing the same problems. But that's something you really have to start doing. You have to start being open and transparent, and also get rid of that like shiny face in the that you try to show all the time. And instead, talk about what's not going well, and if there are any problems with the team, with the founders, with the investment, with the finances, with anything. It's just super helpful to talk to other founders and realize that everybody's struggling and everybody's going through the same ups and downs, and that there are always ways to learn from each other, and to by talking to other people who have had the same experiences and the same mistakes, that that really gives you a shortcut as well to avoid certain mistakes or get out of them quicker. So,
and looking back, what kind of problems were like the biggest, or yeah, the ones where you were really struggling with?
Ooh, there's so many. I think one of the biggest problems is really finding a great team that you can rely on. And I'm so glad that I did find it in the end, but it took a while to really find the great people that you really want to spend every day and night with, because it is a very challenging job, and you do spend way too much time usually on your job, that if you are spending it around people that you may not like or that are frustrating you, then it becomes very draining and frustrating, and it really is distracting. So I think in the beginning I did some like wrong hiring decisions, and was a little naive with like getting everyone to join the company just because they were so motivated about the cause, but realizing way too late that actually those are not the right people to match maybe the team or the culture or the responsibilities that we needed to cover. And so I think that is one of the big learnings that I had, was to really figure out, okay, even if people are always nice and you always find amazing people that you could have join your team, really being a little more strict of who you actually let in, because oftentimes being in a startup is like having a marriage. You're like so close together that if it doesn't work out, it can be really, really bad for a company, and it can kill a company.
How would you describe the marriage to your team?
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, I think that the most important thing is that I can really trust my team, especially also my co-founders. I know that if there's a problem in the middle of the night, I can call them and they will wake up just as much as I would to fix problems, to talk to customers, to do customer support, so to really do the hard work whenever it's needed. But also, I think it's always like a two-way street, right? That also you have to make sure that you're also doing that and you're also also supporting them in any way you can. And of course, especially in situations when there's a lot of pressure and when there's a lot of speed needed, it's difficult to look at the others and see and figure out how you can help others when you actually only want to get your tasks done. So I think that's something where it's really important to always think about, okay, if I can rely on them, then I have to also be reliable. And yeah, figuring out that balance and making sure that this marriage in that sense always works, that you can always rely on each other.
That's amazing that you found such a good team that is such a good fit and finally a good marriage, not like the marriage in the very, very beginning.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to change the partner. let's think about a world where everybody is using MeetFox. What would be better?
Wow. I think if everybody was using MeetFox, I think people would have a lot more time available because they would not have to look into the calendar ever again. They would have to look into it and just see what they are up to today, but they wouldn't have to ever schedule meetings, ever figure out, ever talk to anybody about like, oh, when are you available, and going back and forth. So all that communication that is really, really unnecessary would be completely eliminated and replaced by meaningful interactions that are happening through the meetings itself. I personally even use MeetFox for my personal meetings, which is kind of strange, and my friends always laugh at me. But because I do have a busy schedule, and I have friends in many places around the world, it's just so difficult to me sometimes to think about different time zones and to figure out when to meet and where to meet and whatever. So what I do is I simply also share my booking link with my friends, and they book themselves into my calendar. And so that works really well for me. And I imagine that hopefully in the future, when everybody gets used to using MeetFox for their business part, that it will also help them manage their day-to-day, even on the personal side.
Sounds totally interesting.
Very ambitious.
So we talked now a little bit about like a better world with MeetFox. If you could choose a TV or Netflix series to live in, which one would it be? And also why?
If I could choose a Netflix series, okay. I recently started watching Silicon Valley, the show, which is all about like a startup that is struggling in the Silicon Valley. And I think, first of all, it sounds like they're going for the exact same roller coaster, just on a different scale. And so I would love to kind of be part of that, just because I love being in a startup. And I think that the roller coaster that you're in on a day to day is part of the game, and it's fun. And so, I feel like I would fit right into their chaotic life of a startup founder.
In real life, you are living in you're living in New York, right?
Exactly.
But at the moment, you are in Vienna. And I would like to know which parts of you are Vienna and which are New York City.
I think that on a personal side, I'm very much Vienna. I love classical music. I love museums and culture, and I love having like a very relaxed life. And Vienna is very relaxing. It has a very high quality of living, and it's really a beautiful place to be in. But on my business side, on my business self, is more definitely more happy in New York, just because I like the high pace of the country, of the city. I like that everybody's hustling. I love being surrounded by so many people that are all fighting to achieve something. So I find it very motivating to be in New York for that reason. And so that's where I feel more home when it comes to business, but I feel much more home in terms of personal life when I'm in Austria. So it's a fun mix.
Do you have favorite places when you're in Vienna where you go to, or also when you're in New York? What's the place to go?
In Vienna, I love going, first of all, Austrian food. I'm a big fan of Austrian food. I love schnitzel and everything that is, comes around it. And so whenever I'm in Vienna, I go eat schnitzel like almost all the time. So definitely, you know, Austrian restaurants is where you can find me. I mean, now in the pandemic, it's a little more difficult, but I love, as I said, classical music. I love the opera. I love going to balls. It's a very Viennese and weird thing that we do, but we actually go to balls where you dance classical, like ballroom dances all night long. And so that's what I love about it. In New York, I really just enjoy walking around on the streets. I love seeing like skyscrapers. It still amazes me every time I'm in New York and I look up and I see those beautiful buildings and those beautiful streets, and just like walking around with everyone in this like New York vibe is just really energizing. And that is where I love being, is just on the streets walking around in all the beautiful parts of New York, like Soho and yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I also really love it so much. I really have like our last questions for today.
Ooh. Okay.
Fast and serious. Schnitzel or bagel?
Schnitzel.
Falco or Jay-Z?
Falco, definitely.
Empire State or Schönbrunn Palace?
Schönbrunn. It's funny, I'm apparently more Austrian than a fad.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Where can we find you after work?
I love cocktails, so in a cocktail bar.
Early bird or night owl?
Night owl. I love working till like 4 a.m. That's where I'm the most productive.
Your me time slots during the day?
Breakfast. I love just eating breakfast and not being disturbed. And I need a good meal in the morning to wake up.
Best way to relax?
I love dancing. For me, dancing is the most relaxing thing, because that's when I can really switch off.
What Disney character would you like to be?
Tinkerbell. Because I would love to fulfill everybody's wishes, make everybody's wishes come true. Yeah.
Which superpower, to fly or to be invisible?
To fly. I love flying, and I would love to do it without a plane.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.